The following message was given at Trinity Bible Church in Powell, Wyoming.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks and we give you praise that you have called us out of darkness and into your marvelous light, even as we have confessed our faith in summary form, something that the church has done from the beginning. And we thank you that we can really repeat the same words in summarizing the whole of Scripture in the same way that the church throughout her history has, knowing that there is one faith that has once and for all been handed down to the saints. And we are so grateful that we're not the first Christians, that this is something that, you have been doing in building your church. And we thank you for that. We thank you that you have given us the faith and repentance to turn to Christ. And we ask this afternoon, this evening, that you would richly bless your word, O God, to us, that you would give us illumination, that you would open up our eyes and open up our hearts to receive your word, to not be mere hearers of your word, but to be doers of your word. Please, O Lord, by the power of your Spirit, bless us greatly. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. I invite you to open your Bibles to Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs is right about the middle of the Bible. We're going to look at Proverbs 1, 20 through 33 this evening. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 20 to the end of the chapter. Let's now give our attention to God speaking to us in His Word. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, I've stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, when terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel, and despised all my reproof, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way, and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. Whoever listens to me will dwell secure, and will be at ease without dread of disease, of disaster rather. Now, this is the word of God. May God now be pleased. That is blessing to it. I have a friend who a while back was asked by another man if he wanted to go in on some Bitcoin. If you don't know what that is, it's some form of digital money or digital stock. And my friend thought about it and then decided, nah, I don't think I'll do that. Sure enough, this man who invited him to join him in putting some stock in Bitcoin, ended up becoming a millionaire. Of course, my friend regretted it greatly. However, the only thing he lost really was part of this world. But much worse would be to lose out on an eternal possession. As Jesus says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? And this is what our passage speaks of this afternoon. Here we have wisdom making an offer. and make it a free offer, crying out to take her up on it. And this is in contrast to the sinners of this world that are also calling to this person. Don't listen to what you've been told by your parents. Rather, listen to me, is what the world is saying. So there's a crossroads here. But the consequences of refusing wisdom are not merely worldly regrets, but are of eternal ramifications. What we read here really are some of the most terrifying words you will ever read. And so what I want us to look at are five elements of wisdom's call here. Five elements of wisdom's call. The first is this. Who? Who is making this call? The answer is pretty simple. It's wisdom. Verse 20. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. So here we have wisdom who is making this call, this urgent message. And this is wisdom personified. Wisdom as a person. And this is the way that the book of Proverbs, especially the prologue in chapters 1 through 9, teaches on wisdom. Wisdom here is personified as a woman because she is precious, gracious, beautiful, to be desired. Like Eve, who was the completing crown of creation, or the church, who is precious in God's sight, adorned in beauty, so is wisdom. So that's who is calling out. Second element of wisdom's call is where. Where is this call made? Verses 20 through 21. Wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the markets. She raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. So this illustration of Lady Wisdom here is that she is not meeting with someone in secret, as when people plot evil do. Rather, she is out in the open for everyone to hear and to see. And she is crying out loud, clearly for all to hear. Now, when we think of noisy streets, we tend to think of places like maybe New York City, a bunch of loud engines, car noise going by, hustle and bustle of traffic. However, noisy streets in their day is a lot like some villages in undeveloped places today. Like a marketplace, it's crowded, there's much chatter, selling, buying, there's live animals, so forth and so on. And in their day, if someone was to stand up and shout, it could not be ignored. This person would be heard. And so is wisdom. And she even speaks at the city gates, it says. This is where the elders of the city would gather together to teach. It was like a large public meeting. But here's the point, is that wisdom is not missed here. Wisdom is not hidden in secret. It's clear and out in the open. Nobody can avoid it. Now the question is, how does this illustration translate into real life? Because it's not as if there's literally a lady out there calling out. So what is being portrayed here? What is being communicated? Well, this is where we fill in the gap, so to speak, by looking at the theology of all of Scripture. When we do this, we find that there are two ways that wisdom cries out. First, the natural realm, that is in creation, through natural revelation. In Proverbs 8, wisdom speaks of being used of God to create all things. And God clearly puts his wisdom on display in creation. Romans 1 says that, that his invisible attributes have been clearly seen in the things that has been made. And so when we look at creation, we see the design, we look at all the intricacies and details, even of our own bodies, it's pretty clear that we have a very wise God, that his wisdom, his skill, his craftsmanship has clearly been put on display. And this wisdom cries out, in a sense. Psalm 19 says this, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are their words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. So God's wisdom, attributes, His glory put on display, and they clearly speak loudly in the things that have been made, who this God is, His wisdom. However, as Romans 1 says, men suppress this truth in unrighteousness. And in this sense, they've rejected wisdom. They've rejected what is declared in creation. They reject what's declared in their conscience. And they instead chase after folly, worshiping and serving the creation rather than the Creator. But this realm, this natural realm, only speaks of the disease and not the cure. And so the second realm in which wisdom cries out is through special revelation. That is through the gospel, through the Word of God. The 17th century particular Baptist John Gill made a very strong case, I believe, in his commentary that this section that we're looking at points to Christ's ministry. We see striking similarities between the call of wisdom here and Christ's ministry. His was a public ministry in the public square, crying out loud for all to hear. And even when he was arrested, he said, "I was with you in public." We also see that he was despised and rejected, like wisdom is here. He who is wisdom incarnate, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge being hid in him, called out to sinners for them to come to him. And they rejected him. In fact, what wisdom says here in verse 28, "They will seek me, but will not find me," is exactly what Jesus told the Pharisees in John 7:36. "You will seek me, but you will not find me." And so what happens here to wisdom personified happened ultimately to wisdom incarnate. And this rejection of wisdom incarnate comes with terrible judgment, as we see at the end of our passage. So this is ultimately a rejection of the gospel, of coming to Christ for salvation. And it's really at the cross that the wisdom of God is most fully expressed. How is it that God can justify the ungodly while being just? How can he be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Christ? Because Christ was put forward as the propitiation. Christ was put forward as the one who would take all our sin, who would be punished for our sin so that we would go free, so that God is just in both punishing sin, but also merciful, forgiving our sin. So that's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1 that the wisdom of God is put on display at the cross, but that is foolishness to the world. So this wisdom calls out in the open, both in creation, testifying to the wisdom of God, and calling for him to be worshipped, but especially in the preaching of the gospel to come to Christ for salvation. So this is where wisdom calls out. The third element of wisdom's call is whom or to whom. Verse 22. "How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge?" So what we see here, basically three categories of people. First, there are the simple ones. These are naive, gullible, really immature. They haven't necessarily taken the path of foolishness, but they're very susceptible to it. They're vulnerable to the seduction of the world, of Lady Folly. But as we see here in verse 22, they love being simple. And wisdom is rebuking them and telling them not to stay where they are. And so they are responsible to respond to wisdom's call. But the second group is a general category of fools. A fool is someone who's decided to reject wisdom. Come to the fork in the road and said, "I'm taking the path of folly." His heart is hard, he resents correction, and has many of the characteristics of a fool that the book of Proverbs is going to lay out throughout its book. Now, the third category is called scoffers, and these are the most hardened. The way Jim Neuheiser puts it in his commentary, they are on the faculty of the graduate school of folly. They're not content to simply reject wisdom and inwardly resent correction. Rather, they want to speak out against it, and they want to teach others to reject wisdom and follow folly as well. They laugh at living in wisdom, they mock those who do, and they try to shame or get those out of walking in wisdom and living in foolishness. So these are the ones to whom wisdom is calling. And in this, you see the graciousness and kindness of the Lord. And that brings us to the fourth element of wisdom's call. And that is what? What is the message that wisdom has? What is wisdom calling out or saying? Verse 23. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. So wisdom is making a really gracious offer. If you turn at my reproof, I will pour my spirit out to you. Now, it is theologically true that when God gives wisdom by virtue of union with Christ, he pours out his Holy Spirit on that person. However, that's not what this figure of speech, pour out my spirit to you, means here. Pouring out my spirit to you here is similar to the expression, giving you my heart. Making myself known to you, making my mind known to you, not holding herself back. And this is wisdom giving herself to this one, revealing her secrets, as it were, so that this one becomes intimately acquainted with her. This is why this is followed up with her saying, I will make my words known to you. What she is saying is that you're going to know her deeply. You're going to have wisdom. But I want you to think about how gracious this is. Remember to whom this is spoken. This is spoken to fools. Not just simpletons who are making unwise choices, who are immature, but even scoffers who spend their life mocking her, mocking wisdom, teaching others to do the same. And wisdom is saying, even though you have a hard heart and your sin, I've done many wicked things, I've taught others many wicked things, I've taught others to reject me, yet I am still offering myself to you freely. And here, we see the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was a friend to sinners. He eagerly stretched out his hand to save rebels, enemies, the vile, the ungodly. He called out to them and said, if you come to me, I will give you rest. I will give myself to you. I will be in you. You will be in me. This is not spoken to those who deserved it. This is spoken to those who had sinned against him, who were enemies of his. And we see here what kind of God we have. We have a God who gives wisdom to fools. We have a God who eagerly bestows his gifts on the unrighteous and undeserving. What a gracious, compassionate God we have. And this means, beloved, that we should have compassion and patience with fools, because this is who our God is. So we see the graciousness of God in wisdom personified and freely offering hardened fools to come and receive her very heart for free. This is not extended to them forever. This brings us to the fifth element of wisdom's call, and that is a warning. A warning. Verses 24 through 27. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. So this is not an option here. This is not like turning down a date. Rather, they must heed wisdom's call, or there will literally be hell to pay. Wisdom says that because they ignored her and refused to be rescued out of their foolishness, they will face terrifying judgment. And it really is terrifying when you consider this here. Now, you usually don't go to the book of Proverbs when you want to think about the scary aspects of hell. Maybe the book of Revelation, not the book of Proverbs. But it is terrifying here to consider the judgment that will come upon those who refuse to repent. Wisdom will laugh and mock when calamity and terror comes upon them. Now, as a general rule, it's not nice to laugh at somebody who has a mishap. You know, they fall off a ladder and get hurt. Maybe they fall down and bump their head. Not nice to laugh at them when that happens. But this is more than that. This is calamity. This is terror. This is such as when someone's house burns down or when a tornado levels a city. I mean, this is the language that Proverbs is using here. When a storm or a whirlwind, like a tornado, destroys a place. And I still remember the Joplin, Missouri tornado 10 years ago in 2011. And it leveled the city. It was utter destruction. And the Weather Channel was in the area, and so they shortly arrived on scene, and one of the reporters was doing a live report, and he started to report on it, and then he just started to break down and cry live on the air when he saw the calamity, the destruction of everything that had happened. It was a great calamity, a terrifying one. But wisdom says that she will not weep, but rather laugh at calamity. This calamity that is coming, that is certain, not hypothetical to those who refuse her. She will mock when you are in distress and anguish. And she will also not answer your call for help. Verse 28, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. So in the days of grace, she is calling out, come to me. There's a time when it will be too late. Because she was ignored, she will also ignore their call. And their day of judgment comes, the day of anguish and distress. This sounds harsh at first, doesn't it? Not helping someone in desperate need, laughing at calamity. I'm sure that if that reporter for the Weather Channel would have laughed at what was going on when he saw that calamity live on air, he would be fired. So why would Lady Wisdom, of all people, laugh at someone's calamity, terror, distress, and anguish, their suffering and their pain? Well, this is what perfect justice looks like on the day of judgment. Perfect justice demands that they pay for their sin, that they pay for, as verses 29 and 30 says, hating knowledge, despising wisdom's reproof, and not choosing the fear of the Lord. As verse 31 says, they are simply eating the fruit of their way. They are getting what they deserve, and this is what sinners deserve. This kind of judgment, reaping what they sow. This shows how devastating it is to reject wisdom and continue to walk in foolishness. Perfect justice, which has no mercy. Understand, there's no mercy when it comes to perfect justice. Looks like facing terror, your worst nightmares, calamity, destruction, deep pain and suffering, while being laughed at and mocked with no one to come to your rescue. And brothers and sisters, this is the perfect justice that Christ took for us. Calamity came upon him as a storm, as a whirlwind, as the sky darkened, showing that he was taking the wrath of God on the cross. He faced terror beyond imagination, anguish beyond comprehension in his soul when he faced the wrath of God. And he faced this while being laughed at, scorned, and mocked by sinners because he was taking our place in judgment. Therefore, he was mocked in our place. He was shamed in our place. He was laughed at in our place when calamity came upon him as a storm. And when he cried out, nobody heard. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But he suffered silently. No one came to his rescue. He was utterly rejected, abandoned, and faced the eternal wrath of God for our sins, in our stead. He faced perfect justice so that we would receive unending and eternal mercies and blessings. And so we who by God's grace have come to see our foolishness and have called out to wisdom incarnate, our Lord Jesus, believing in his gracious offer to save all those who come to him, that he will by no means cast out the one who comes to him. We can dwell secure, as verse 33 says, but whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. We can have full assurance in our hearts that we dwell secure and safe from the wrath of God, from the day of destruction, from the day of judgment, because Christ took that for us in full. We who believe can have assurance, peace, and comfort, and not fear from death or any disaster, because we are safe in the hands of Christ, who loses none who come to him. And while we continue to struggle with our ongoing foolishness, that ongoing sin that rages within, yet we know that we are still safe because we are in Christ. And he who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it, the day of Christ Jesus. And if any of us lacks wisdom, all we have to do is simply ask. God will give generously to all who ask without reproach, as James 1:5 says. And so, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Turn to God, calling out to him to save you if you haven't, for he will have compassion on you, and he will abundantly pardon. And he waits on high to show you compassion, and he will give you all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in wisdom incarnate, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do ask that if there's any in here who have yet to believe, that they would take this seriously, that they would not ignore wisdom, as wisdom has called out even now from the pulpit through your word. May they turn, be healed, be saved. And us in here who have believed in you, may we have assurance in that security. And may we continue to call upon you, knowing that you are near and that we do have all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Christ. And you refuse none who ask. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to a message from Trinity Bible Church in Powell, Wyoming. To receive more information about Trinity Bible Church or to support the ministry, go to tbcwyoming.com. That is tbcwyoming.com.